You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, September 1st, 2010. This is episode 147, Wells Tech Road Trip Wrap-Up. We're back again with another edition of the Wells Tech Podcast, and we're getting back into the swing of things, and as usual, beside me, Sally Draper from Sleepy Eye, Minnesota. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin Spriggs from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Nice to talk to you this morning.
We are we're getting back into the formal, rigid, very Lutheran-like schedule for the show today.
Our Wells Tech liturgy.
That's a good term for it. We rarely change it. We probably do have our page 5 and 15. Lifelong Lutherans will remember page 5 and 15. But we had some fun this summer, didn't we?
That's right. We took a bit of a road trip, and we did deviate from our norm, took out some of our normal show topics, and just focused on traveling around this great country and meeting people in various congregations, schools, and organizations that were doing exciting things with technology, and we're willing to share that with our listeners so that we could all learn.
Some of that was connecting with old friends. Some of it was meeting new folks and talking about new things. So I had a great time. We got to almost every district. I didn't count them up, but I think we maybe missed a couple. So 10 out of 12 is not too bad. And it's interesting to see what people are doing with technology, which is really the reason for this show existing, is to try and figure out how best to use technology to God's glory. So what we thought we'd do for today's show is just do a quick review. And maybe not all of our listeners were able to listen to every episode of the road trip. So we'll just do a quick review, pick out some of the highlights of our conversations with people on the road. And we will go back to our very first stop on the Wells Tech road trip. And that was in Aurora, Colorado, where we spoke with Liz Zelo and Dan Numanson from Wisconsin Lutheran Child and Family Service. And the topic for that show happened to be long-distance counseling.
Yeah, Dan actually wasn't in Aurora when we talked to him. He was there in the Milwaukee area, and that's the home of Wisconsin Lutheran Child and Family Services. But through this distance counseling that they offer, congregations and schools and organizations all around the country can take advantage of their counselors there in Milwaukee and have private counseling sessions via the internet. So using web camera and web conferencing technology, be able to connect real time with a counselor and have these one-on-one counseling sessions. And Liz is working with the New Beginnings Home. That's a home for unwed mothers, and they have just great things to say about the service and how it's been a benefit for them at New Beginnings.
I think in general, video conferencing is really an emerging technology. The price is coming down. In fact, in many cases, it's free. You can use commonplace tools like Skype. We've talked about VC in the past, even Google. You know, has video conferencing baked into their Gmail client now called Google Chat. And I think we've even talked about tools like Uvu in the past that really make this possible, where you just need the client installed on both ends and you use voice over IP technology, and the cost of the call is free, provided that the computers on each end have the appropriate equipment with the webcam and a broadband connection. You wouldn't want to do this with somebody that has a dial-up connection. In doing a little bit of research or prep for the show, I also ran across another video conferencing service which looks really promising called Tiny Chat, and that doesn't even require you to install anything on your machine. It's all web-based, so that might be something that our listeners might be interested in.
And, of course, Dan gave us a lot of information about this Nephsys video conferencing that they use for their product. with heavy emphasis on the privacy and security that's needed for the kind of counseling services they're offering.
Yep.
So lots of great info on that show.
Very good. Then we packed our bags and we went over to a very familiar synodical spot, very close to you there, Sally, New Ulm, Minnesota.
That's right. Had the opportunity to talk with teacher Heath Dobberpool from Minnesota Valley Lutheran High School. Today is the first day of school for my 10th grader in MVL, so
okay.
Very timely to be talking about that. Heath shared with us their student management system that they use. It's called Infinite Campus, and it's one of many that are out on the market. This one had particular pluses in that MVL manages their menuing system and all of the purchases for their school lunch program through the system as well. So really great to talk with him and learn a bit about Infinite Campus, and just a good conversation there.
They use Infinite Campus, and they're just starting out, or this was launched last year, right, Sally?
During the school year last
year. Exactly. So now they're going to have their first full year under their belt here. But there are many other products that are available. One that has been a part of the Lutheran Schools office here is Power School, and that's a very similar product. I was doing a little bit of searching for student information systems online, and there's just a ton of them out there. There's even some open source tools that those of you that have some technological inclinations, if you want to use some open source tools for this. OpenSIS seem to be one of the most popular and hosted, and they take a lot of the pain and suffering out of setting these things up away from you doing it locally on your own campus, but they have a kind of a web-hosted version. So some of these tools are really cool. And I would think that regardless of the size of the school, these kinds of systems are probably a necessity in education today. Just trying to keep track of not just attendance, but hot lunches and some of the things they're doing there at MVL as well. Lots of things that they can do, communicating with students, communicating with teachers, kind of this portal concept.
And, you know, he's just giving us that cutting-edge look, because I think as more and more high schools make this the standard, then it's going to get pushed down to the elementary school levels as well. So parents' expectations are growing for this kind of thing, and so maybe you need to look into it.
Very good. Then where'd we go, Sally?
Next up, we went out east. We headed to New York State to talk with Pastor Jeremiah Gum, who's a blogging pastor.
Does
a blog called The Shepherd's Study. And he has had quite a bit of success with his blog. It was great to get to talk to him about it.
Yeah, he focuses on topics that are of interest to other pastors. So I think that's one of the core tenets of a blog, is try to focus on a topic, certainly one that you're interested in and perhaps knowledgeable in, but then you would create an audience around that particular topic. But I think in general, churches could use blogging tools for a lot of different purposes. Maybe blogging, as I was thinking a little bit about this, maybe the blog is an equivalent communications tool, or maybe even something that would unseat the congregational newsletter. Blogs can come out whenever they're ready, so they're timely, they're chronological, and even if you do a blog, you can even feed that information to your church homepage or even your Facebook page. You can add imagery. I think it's a great communications tool.
Absolutely. And, you know, Pastor Gum gave us kind of the behind-the-scenes look at it as well. So if you visit that particular podcast, it's from June 30th, episode 138, you can actually see what some of the behind-the-scenes mechanics of working with the blog is like. And, you know, that may be a drawback for some people, that they are just nervous about the mechanics of it, but it shouldn't be that way. It's pretty easy to get started and easy to maintain.
Yeah.
So check out this podcast if you're interested at all in blogging.
Very good. Then we move to the heartland of the Synod, Omaha, Nebraska, and connected with Jason Schmidt, who we've talked with before, and he talked to us a little bit about smart boards and smart technologies.
Yeah, maybe more than just a little bit. We got quite a few excellent links from Jason and resources
Great
that he was willing to share. He's definitely got an active Personal Learning Network, or PLN, in the SmartBoard arena. So he's always learning new things and very willing to share those. And one of the things in particular that he shared was Curriculum Resources for Christian Teachers, which is a wiki that's done by several Wells teachers where they're putting together different resources. And on that wiki, he posted some example Christlight SmartBoard resources. So if you're a teacher teaching with the Christlight curriculum, Jason gives you some ideas of how you might incorporate the SmartBoard into your Christlight lessons.
Is that curriculum site just SmartBoard based, or is it all kinds of curriculum tools?
It's all kinds. It covers all the different areas of the curriculum, but there are definitely SmartBoard resources posted there as well.
Very good.
And it's a wiki, so create an account and add to it if you're a teacher.
Share your knowledge. Share your knowledge. Yep. Then we went down south to
the heartland of the Senate. Is that what we call that?
Down south?
Yeah.
Birmingham, Alabama is where we went to talk with Ben Kratz, Pastor Ben Kratz. And actually, he wasn't in Alabama when we did the interview. He was actually up at in Mequon, which most would say is the heartland of the Synod. And I interviewed him there after a summer quarter class. And he is also using video conferencing, similar to the model that we were talking about with New Beginnings. And he does it for Bible class, distance Bible class, with members who aren't able to come to church or during the week, perhaps, and maybe they're an hour and a half away. I think that was the example he gave. And he's using Skype to conduct confirmation class or Bible class over the internet.
You know, this is just a great example of making use of these tools in creative ways. So the sky's really the limit,
right.
And I love to see this kind of ideas out there. My husband and I had a conversation last night about recording somehow the Sunday school teacher meetings for those that aren't able to attend, you know. So, again, just making use of these tools, maybe video conferencing people in or doing a screencast recording as you're talking through different websites or whatever it may be, so that you can include more people in the study of God's Word. And
yeah,
that's just an awesome thing.
Yeah, it is. And now with the technology, and they're always evolving, Skype allows video conferencers. And Skype has a lot of plugins and add-ins that you can use. One that might be helpful in this scenario is something called VodBurner, which allows you to record the video and audio of a Skype conference, a conference call. So you could actually record the Bible class session, and those people that weren't able to make it could play it back later from your website or from a link that you provide. So all kinds of options.
Very good. And lucky us, we got to, I think I skipped an episode.
Where'd we go?
I was thinking we went south again, but I think I missed one in the process.
Hang on here. I've got to go to a previous page here. We go to Texas. Isn't that where we went next?
Yeah, my map says we went up north to meet with Ryan Rosenthal before we went to Houston.
Ah, we don't have him on here.
Yeah, we don't.
We skipped Ryan.
Boy,
we can correct that.
Episode 141 was in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And that was with Ryan Rosenthal, who is a teacher at Faith Lutheran School. And Ryan was able to share with us some of the exciting Web 2.0 things that are going on in his school. We talked VoiceThread. We talked about his science wiki, which he has his kids contribute to when they're doing their science studies in seventh grade, and his classroom blog. And besides that, we heard about how all his teachers are actually blogging and how he's coaxing even those teachers who aren't so tech-friendly to be involved in the Web 2.0 world. So a great example of a school making use of lots of great technology throughout their curriculum.
Yeah, and sometimes it takes somebody like a Ryan in a school to think about this and integrate it rather than just plug it in. I think there is some hard thinking that you need to go through to kind of figure out what place technology plays, what kind of seat at the table it has in your curriculum, and We talked, we're going to visit Watertown here in a minute, where we talk about mobile technology coming right into the classroom versus a computer lab. So there's all kinds of considerations, and it's great that Ryan is taking the lead there and trying to figure out how best to do that at Faith in Fond du Lac.
And, you know, he started really simply. The teachers are already doing a newsletter, and he had them put that on their blog. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't adding any work to what they were already doing. It was just making use of it in a technologically friendly way. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
A great place to start, and it's just kind of grown from there. So a great example for others to follow.
So then we went to Houston,
Texas. That's right. Deep into the heart of Texas, we met with Sally Valesky from Abiding Word in Houston, and she shared with us some information about their church management software, Shepherd Staff, which she actually had attended, I think, one of our Shepherd Staff classes in the past, and makes good use of it. And out of the course of that, we kind of grew a new area on our Wells Tech Wiki, where we housed the time and talent survey, excellent survey that they put together there at Abiding Word, and Sally was willing to share that so that others could make use of it in their congregation.
Yeah, I just chatted with Sally yesterday. She had a question on how to produce a pictorial directory out of Shepherd Staff. It's pretty apparent where to put the pictures in Shepherd Staff, but it's not really apparent how to produce a pictorial directory. You have to kind of go into the reports section, and it kind of raises an important, an important point for me when you're trying to deal with these things. And you really got to click around and don't be afraid to try new things to see how they're going to turn out. But you always have the Concordia Technology Solutions help desk at your disposal if you buy the support, which I really would recommend everybody use, because they know better than anybody else where all the nooks and crannies are of all the features and functions. So if you really want to maximize your investment, take advantage and call them. They're not just the break fix people. They really will walk you through different features and how best to do things. So take advantage of that.
And probably worth mentioning, Martin, that we're looking to talk to more in the church office and school office arena. So this fall we'll be kicking off a series where we look at best practices and sharing of documents and ideas from church and school secretaries and staff ministers, administrators, those types, so that hopefully we can build up that network and share more resources, as Sally was willing to do.
Yep, very powerful tool, and you might as well take advantage of the resources available. Then we went to Watertown, Wisconsin. Some would claim that's the heartland of the Synod, too.
Got lots of heartlands. I'm banking on the South. But anyway, Watertown, Wisconsin, we got to meet up with Drew Willems from Trinity St. Luke's School there in Watertown. And they had some exciting stuff going on in their school as well, as you mentioned earlier, particularly using the mobile technology. They have a mobile cart of netbooks, and Drew was able to tell us about some of the success that they've experienced with that one-to-one computing, where they hand the kids a netbook when they walk in class, and they're able to use it throughout their class for their research and note-taking needs. So lots of cool stuff going on there.
I think this is a topic that's really got to get in on everybody's agenda at some point here in the near future, for schools at least. Because I think most schools right now have a lab of computers. And as those computers age, there's a decision to make whether you continue to maintain or replace them at whatever cost that is, or whether you move more towards mobile platforms like this, where you bring the computers into the classrooms. And I'll be very interested to see how this goes for Trinity St. Luke's as they try and really integrate this into the learning experience or the learning environment there. So I do believe this is probably where it needs to go, as opposed to everybody coming into the computer lab, bringing the technology to them.
You know, Martin, I have a good example of that right here in Sleepy Eye. We have some students that have some special needs, and our newest science textbook curriculum has the entire science book online, and it'll actually read to them. So those that have some reading reading learning disabilities are able to keep up with their grade level science work by making use of this online technology, and they're doing it using netbooks. So we've got a few netbooks that these students can share with headphones. They're able to stay right with the class as needed.
Yep.
So just one small example of how netbooks are having an impact here in Sleepy Eye.
That's right. And then we traveled out to the left coast, and we went to the Pacific Northwest and visited with our friend John Shoesmith, who's now on Whidbey Island in a lighthouse.
That's right. He sent us some cool fog pictures of the true life there out on Whidbey Island. And John is known for his closed captioning video skills. He's kind of been a leader in the Synod with putting out closed caption videos from his congregation Redeemer in Yakima, Washington. And just the immense popularity of those closed caption videos really caught our attention. We talked to him about a year ago, and he was willing to come back on and give us kind of an update on the technology and where things are now with transcribing videos, because Google's got some transcription abilities, and more things will be having closed captioning in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So nice to get an update from John and to see the fog out there in Washington.
Yeah, this is an interesting topic, and something probably the natural next step if you're already doing video. You know, first of all, get your video to a point where you're happy with it, but then closed captioning seems like the tools are coming of age, at least according to John, that you know they're a little bit easier to use and a little bit more effective. So why not? Because reaching more with the gospel is really what we're about. So and it seems like that's been his experience too, that he has been able to reach many more people just by the act of closed captioning his videos.
Next up, we headed south from John down to the west coast location of Citrus Heights, California, and we visited with two people from St. Mark's Lutheran School. It was Maren McPeak and Matt Bauer, and they told us about some of the exciting things that they have going on with their web presence, how they're using Google and Moodle and Facebook and iTunes and lots of things to really beef up their web presence and their communication within their school and congregation.
Mm-hmm.
Just an excellent resource to point anyone to for a good church and school website, and we really appreciated talking with them.
Kind of highlights what can be done with a plan and dedicated folks. You know, you definitely get the impression in talking with Maren and Matt that they have their whole heart in this, and this is they view this as a ministry, and that's kind of how you have to approach these kinds of things. And when you do it well, it can't help but increase your communications to members and prospects. That's really the goal, and I think they're seeing the results of that as well.
Absolutely. And then it was time to wrap up our road trip. And last week we actually made it to
three places at the same time. Yes.
Yeah. We were in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Florida talking to three pastors who have experience with three different Bible softwares for their Bible study activities.
Mm-hmm.
We talked with Pastor Aaron Fry, who uses Logos, Pastor Dan Witte, who uses Bible Works, and Pastor Steve Bauer, who is an Accordance guy, a Mac guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Accordance is a Mac product. So really interesting conversation with those three, and boy, they are serious about their Bible study, aren't they, Martin?
Right. Yeah, we did have a little bit of a bake-off, and each of them was able to tout their Bible study software of choice. And what I came away from that podcast thinking was you can't go wrong with any of the three. It seemed like all three of them did a good job of providing the tools and resources that a typical pastor would need. So I think that was a real positive coming out of that, and anybody looking to get into that wouldn't be missing much if they picked one over against the other. There wasn't a lot to differentiate them.
Yeah. So I think, if you are already a user, you certainly would benefit from hearing some of the ideas that they shared about how they're using it and, what different resources they have invested in and feel like are worthy of the investment. So
Yeah,
lots to do
one
there.
thing that came to my mind as they were talking was another tool that none of them mentioned, and it's really not a Bible study. It doesn't fall in that same category, but that's the Glow Bible, which we've talked about in the past, and we actually interviewed the creator, of the Glow Bible, oh, probably a year ago. It's not, again, a deep Bible study tool, but it might be good as kind of a cheap resource that can be added to other products. It's a good, I think it'd be a good tool for Bible class presentations,
Very
because it has
graphical.
maps, images, videos. It kind of makes that biblical content come alive with some more depth. And I don't know. Do you guys use that? Sally, did you get a Glow Bible, or did Kevin? Does Kevin use that?
Yeah, he does have a Glow Bible. I can't say that he's made much use of it in Bible class, but that was the idea. Even if he couldn't share it live, maybe to do some video kind of things or screenshots from the Glow Bible as well to incorporate into his Bible class presentations. So
Yeah, and it's not real expensive. I think it's 70,
$89.
$80, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so give that a try as well.
One more plug from this show for the Wellspec Wiki because we created a brand new page for Bible software, and there's a link on that page to the Glow Bible as well as the others that are mentioned in the show. So,
Let's move on to our regular ministry resources segment of the show. And this week we wanted to highlight a video library that's emerged from Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary.
that's right. Our friend John Shoesmith, as a matter of fact, pointed this out to us, and the seminary has actually hundreds of videos out there that they've archived different Bible studies and classes that were being taught at the SEM. You can take a 48 video approach to studying Hebrew. There's a study on the Gospel of John, on 1 Corinthians, and learning to interpret the New Testament. And all of those have quite extensive video series posted there on Vimeo.
Very good. So take advantage of that. And those vary in length, but I think they're all of sufficient quality that you'd be able to get a lot out of them if that was an area that you were interested in.
And we can even post an RSS feed. So if you're an RSS person and you want to keep up with what the SEM is posting out on Vimeo in terms of video resources, you can subscribe that way as well.
Moving on, news and tech. We have some news in the technology industry. This is a section where we try and find something that may have usefulness in for ministry purposes. And the big news last week, I think, was Microsoft updating its web applications, its Office web applications, and integrating it with Facebook. Docs.com is the website, and if you have a Facebook account, you can take advantage of Docs.com and be able to use Word, Excel, PowerPoint, I think OneNote is in there as well, right online for free. Now, it's a stripped-down version, of course, as most web apps are, but I would say it's got some advantages over Google Docs, for instance. I think it's a little bit more full-featured, has that ribbon bar concept, so if you're familiar with Office 2007, at least this is going to be very comfortable for you. And seems to work really well. I think Microsoft is committed now to going online rather than just the netbook or the laptop or PC-based software that they have. So now they're in that online space. You can even edit in either space. So if you've got Microsoft Word installed, you can actually edit in Microsoft Word and then re-upload it or resync it with the online version.
And have you made use of the Facebook version at all, Martin?
Yeah, I tried that, although I haven't shared it with any of my Facebook friends at this point, but I think that might be a useful tool for ministry.
Yeah, I agree. And just more and more things you can see moving to that Facebook platform. So having the ability to actually have something decent looking and not just, default to their formatting and rules and things that they apply automatically could be really useful as well.
It seems to be nicely integrated. So, All right, let's move on to our picks of the week.
All right, I couldn't wait to get to this section today because I just found a gold mine this week when I found a new resource for education technology. It's called School Technology Solutions, and you can find it at schooltechnology.org. And basically, this is a tech teacher. His name is Brad Flickinger. He's out in Colorado, a tech instructor in an elementary school there in Colorado, and he's begun this resource sharing website, kind of centered around a blog that he does, but he also has online workshops where he's recorded video tutorials that you can take advantage of, and he does reviews of different software and solutions, and he also has an example website. He has his third through fifth grade students podcasting on a daily basis, their school news, and once a week they do a video podcast, which are just a load of fun to watch. And if you're looking to get into podcasting with your students, a great example to look at as well. So
cool.
Just busting with resources this morning on his blog. He had posted a video tutorial about doing keyboarding with kindergarten and first grade students. So he's sharing how he's teaching these young kids keyboarding skills, even at that early age. And he does it in terms of a video tutorial. So he's demonstrating and talking you through it as he's showing it. So that's just a small example of some really great content, I think, that anybody in education would really appreciate as they strive to integrate more and more technology into their curriculum. So check it out. It's schooltechnology.org.
Sounds like a great resource. Wonderful. My pick is another Google product. Google's been very active recently with rolling out a number of things, and one of those is allowing you to make phone calls through your computer right within the Gmail interface. So anybody that has Gmail, I think it's been rolled out now to everybody, should see a little icon or a link down under the chat section called Call Phone. And what that allows you to do is to dial any number. You could actually, you've always been able to, at least for the last year or so, call somebody else with a Gmail account. And so that's voice over IP technology that brings people together via voice. But now with this addition, you can call regular landline or cell phone numbers for free, which is an awesome service. And I don't know how long that's going to last. There have been no promises made that this would go on forever. But at least for right now, it acts very much like Skype does, except for Skype, if you want to call regular phone numbers, you have to pay kind of the Skype out subscription fee, and it's like 2 cents a minute or something like that, which is actually pretty good, much cheaper than you're getting probably in your for your regular phone line. But this is for free. And on top of that, if you have a Google Voice account, which we've talked about in the past, you can have people call your number for free, and it'll ring right within your Gmail, and you can make use of it that way. There is no conferencing like you can do in Skype, but then again, the price is right as well. It's more basic features than what Skype has, but the convenience is it's right in your Gmail. It can use your contacts list. So anybody that's in your Gmail address book and has a phone number listed there, you can make a phone call, or you can just dial whatever number that you want. And there is a charge for international calls, but it's also along the same rate schedule as like Skype uses. It's very inexpensive and very convenient. So check that out.
Yeah, we actually did a test call last week, Martin, and I think it was on the very first day that we made our call. Mm-hmm. And I read later that there were like 1 million phone calls on their first day. The day they roll it out, they have 1 million people making phone calls with the tool.
So it sounds like they can handle the load, yes. So.
Yeah, and it was crystal clear.
It was good. Yep, absolutely. Let's move on to community feedback.
Sure. We heard from Jason Schmidt this week via our DIGO group. He shared a couple of links for us. One is Google for Educators web search resources. So I know in our school, one of the first things the teachers asked me to do was to get the kids primed for doing online research, you know, help them get started with those kind of skills. And so that's what we've been focusing on at the beginning of the school year. And Jason shared some great resources to get started doing that. Google's put together a whole course basically online connected to lesson plans, video tutorials, sample projects for the kids to do and everything. So if you're looking to bring your kids up to speed on doing excellent searching on the internet, check out this Google page for those kind of things. Jason also shared a link to a website called Faith Sings. It's done by Mary Dorn Lippert, who's a Wells member, and she's put together e-song books and songs that you can purchase there. And she has a lot of freebies as well, so you might want to check it out if you're doing any kind of music ministry. Mm-hmm. Some great resources there from Mary Dorn Lippert.
Very good.
Next up, we heard from Gail Potratz, who shared a link to Mikogo. I'm not sure if that's how you would say it, Martin. It's one of those web words.
Yeah, who knows?
But it is web conferencing for free. So you can do screen sharing, and it's pretty simple to do. It looks like it's perfect for online meetings, web conferencing, product demos, presentations, remote support, and webinars. So if you are looking for a platform for that kind of thing, you may want to check out this new free cross-platform desktop tool.
And it works kind of like GoToAssist Express and those kinds of tools where you can do remote support. And it looks, I'm just looking at the website now, and it says it's totally free for both commercial and private use. And just installs on your system. You get a little session ID that you have to plug in, or your participant has to plug in, and away you go. So I've not tried this, so I can't vouch for it, but it looks interesting.
And it does show that you need to call your participants, so perhaps you can use Google Gmail chat voice capabilities to make those phone calls, or Skype, or any of those other voice over IP solutions to call for free, hopefully. So, yeah.
And many of those do have their own screen sharing. I know Skype does that as well. So lots of ways to hook up.
Yep. Just get with the program. Mm-hmm. Last up, we heard from this guy named Martin Spriggs. He's always sharing cool stuff as well.
Well, I don't know how cool this is, but it's kind of an indicator of maybe where the industry is going. This is a Read Write web article called When K-12 Moves to the Cloud. It's an article about how more and more school systems and schools are beginning to use Google Apps for Education for both their email, their collaboration, their intranet kinds of things. And this article on Read Write Web talks about a couple of examples of how school systems have adopted the Google tools and really are finding that it's saving them a ton of money and some time. Most of our schools only have part-time technology folks, and this kind of helps them more centrally manage all those kinds of things and lets Google's infrastructure replace some servers that you may have to maintain otherwise. So we're checking out the article. They have a lot of good links and some good case studies here about how schools are doing this and what some of the benefits are and how much money they're saving.
And Google Apps for Education, as well as for nonprofits, is totally free.
Right.
So we'll grab those links and include those in the show notes as well. If it's something that you're considering, you may want to go down that path, get signed up for Google Apps for free.
Yep. And you may, those of you that use FinalWeb, the Synod's web hosting program, you can still use these products like Google Apps for Education or for nonprofits as the email. The FinalWeb did that for our church as well. So I said, well, I need this to be hooked up for email. Can you swap that out? And it's easily done. And then you get all the other advantages of the Google products, but you still have a final website. So lots of
ways
to do
that. As you go through
the
process, it gives you some codes and and things that you just need to communicate to final web support, and it's pretty easy to get set up that way.
Do you guys do that too?
We are in the process.
Okay.
I've signed up for the account, haven't quite made all the connections yet, but
Okay.
I know Pastor Phil Huebner down at Christ the King in Palm Coast, Florida, is making use of Google Apps for his intranet and email. So
Right.
maybe we need to get him on sometime and learn more about that.
Yep. Okay. Next week, what are we doing next week, Sally?
Oh, next week. I've been waiting for this week for a long time. Way back when, I think it was sometime in May, we wrapped up our book series. We had concluded The Hidden Power of Electronic Culture. And at that time, because of maybe a little bit of grumbling from me about the complexity of our discussions, you made a statement that I could pick the next book, Martin.
Yeah,
So
and that I was
my
true to my
time has
word.
come. That's right. And so now we get to listen to grumbling from you, I'm guessing. But anyway, we're going to do an ed tech book this time around. It's called Leading 21st Century Schools, written by Lynn Schrum and Barbara Levine. And next week will be our kickoff. So if you want to read along with us, you certainly could pick up a copy this week, or listen in next week as we get started with our newest book selection.
Yep, check your local libraries. That's Sally where you found your copy. I happened to order mine from Amazon, but however you want to get it, grab it and follow along with us. And even if you don't get it, I think the discussion will be very helpful to all educators who want to figure out how to educate in this technological age.
And that's really going to apply, I think, to a lot more than just our teachers and the audience, because that's what we're doing with God's Word is trying to share and educate people in the process. And so hopefully some of this discussion is going to apply to all our
At any
listeners.
level, right? Exactly. Well, that's another show, Sally. Let's close with the music of Stephen Bautista, his song Forged in the Fire from his album Abandon. Thanks everybody for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Surrounds me with this.